Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Joining us now is Tim DeChristopher, who's a senior at the University of Utah. Tim, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
You're in Salt Lake City, and I have to ask you, how many acres of Bureau of Land Management land do you, at least on paper, own the drilling and mining rights for?
Well, I don't quite own it yet, but in the auction, I won the rights to about 22,500 acres.
So you're a landowner, but as you say, it's not completely clear yet, because when the U.S. Bureau of Land Management auctioned off gas and oil leases in Utah last month, there were activists outside protesting, but DeChristopher actually bid on some of those leases and won a $1.7 million parcel of land. And you don't have the money to pay for this, right?
No, and the intent wasn't really to make a purchase. It was more of an act of civil disobedience to stop the auction.
The idea was to have disruptive people in the auction who would make the price sort of moot, and maybe the auction would be canceled, but at the very least, you bid up the price for people who were actually bidding on those leases, correct?
Right. That's what I started with before I actually won any parcels. I just drove up the prices for a while.
Now, this is a felony, Tim.
Yeah, no charges have been pressed yet, so it's still unclear.
Well, what was the...
But I knew that there would be consequences like that when I was going into it. I realized that before I took any action.
Now, what made you decide to do this particular style of civil disobedience versus just a traditional form of protest?
Well, I've done all the traditional forms that are supposed to be accesses to power or pathways to change. I've protested, held signs, marched. I've written letters, signed petitions, spoke to my congressman. I've directly volunteered in national parks and things like that. And all that has seemed a little ineffective and hasn't put us on a path towards a livable future. So I've seen the need for a while now for more serious action by the environmental movement.
All right, well, so 2 points here. If everybody had done that, or if 50 people had done that at the auction, it could have seriously disrupted and possibly even ended the lease auction, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
But an environmentalist, and certainly someone noted for being opposed to full-fledged drilling in federal lands, is Barack Obama and the transition team, including some members of Congress, and John Podesta, the head of the transition team, has said that the lease sale should be halted or altered to accommodate environmental concerns. Do you think they would support the steps you took?
I don't know if they would directly support my steps, but I had that in mind while I was taking action, and that's what gave me the hope that maybe this would actually have the effect of protecting some of that land and keeping some of that oil in the ground, was that if I could put it off for long enough that they could come into office and reconsider this auction and give it the due process that it's lacked up to this point, that maybe it could really have a lasting effect.
Take me into the auction. I mean, you're sitting there. There's probably some, somebody from Exxon across the aisle from you, or I don't know what. You actually bid $1.7 million for something. Explain what you feel like in your stomach when you're doing that.
Well, it was a major struggle that I was going through right beforehand, because I didn't go in there with the intent of doing this, and it wasn't especially planned out. I went there with the intent of being a little more disruptive than the protesters who are holding signs outside. And so I just walked into the building and kind of expected to get thrown out by security. But then once I walked in, they said, "Hi, are you here to be a bidder?" And I said, "Well, yes, I am." And so I signed up as a bidder and got inside the auction room and saw that some kind of speech or disruption or anything like that certainly wasn't going to have any effect. But I saw pretty quickly that I could have a major effect by bidding, by driving up the prices for others and taking some of the parcels off the table so that they didn't get developed.
How did you bid? Did you use a sign? Did you hold up a card? How did it work?
Yeah, they just had a little bid card. I was number 70, and it was basically just a laminated piece of paper with a big number 70 on it.
Who were you bidding against? Who were you bidding against, and who did you beat?
I don't know exactly who all the oil companies were. I've heard since then that there was Flying J was one of them. Halliburton was one of them. There were a few other companies.
Now, they have filed objections that the price that you drove up is, a liability and something that they shouldn't have to pay for. What do you think about that?
Well, I think there's a lot of external costs in developing oil that they don't have to pay, that all the rest of us pay in our tax dollars. The cost of the loss of recreation, the health care cost that comes from the pollution, and the cost of mitigating global warming. So I think what I did was drive up their prices a little closer to the actual cost of developing oil. And the thing is, they apparently found that acceptable, that apparently what they were paying was so far below the real value for those leases that they were still willing to pay the inflated prices that I drove up.
All right, Tim, before we go, when you finally told them, hey, I'm a fraud, I have no intention of paying for these, what was their reaction?
I was already in custody at that point of the BLM law enforcement officials, and so it was them that I had that conversation with. And they were very friendly and respectful, and we had a very open conversation about exactly why I did it and what my motivations were and why I thought that this was a fraudulent auction and why I thought it was a threat to my future.
All right. Well, we will see what happens in your future. At the very least, you're facing, at least on paper, felony charges. Tim DeChristopher, senior at University of Utah. He comes from Salt Lake City, where the takeaway is heard on the local public radio station. Tim, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
But you live outside the law.